Well, for Valentine's Day, I sent my daughter, who's away at college, a big, it wasn't even really big, but a bag of groceries. I ordered from Whole Foods, and it had the makings for lunch and dinner, and then it had a few treats. It had some fruit and a big chocolate bar in it and some fun drinks. When she got the bag, she expressed utter delight. She sent me a picture with the caption, "I have never been so happy in my entire life." And it had way too many exclamation points for me to even count. It's amazing how much happiness you can give to a college student with just a small bag of groceries. Of course, I delighted in her delight. And this afternoon, we want to delight in the psalmist's delight. So open your Bibles up to Psalm 119. And for our final session, we're going to do a flyover of Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, with 176 verses dedicated to God's Word. Don't worry, we won't read every verse, but this coming week, try to go through this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm, and you can meditate maybe on a few stanzas every day and see how the psalmist really delights in God's word and all that he gets out of it. Psalm 119 is written as an acrostic poem. It's got 22 stanzas, and each stanza starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You can kind of think of it as the ABCs of Scripture. Each stanza has 8 verses. As we look at the verses from Psalm 119, I want us to see the delight of the psalmist, and then I want us to delight in the delight of the psalmist. For it's a much more significant delight than in a bag of groceries. The psalmist delights not in food for his stomach, but in food for his soul. In Psalm 119, God's word is the psalmist's greatest delight. So let's, just to start, read the second stanza, verses 9 to 16. Beth, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And listen to this verse, verse 111. You don't have to turn there, or you can. It's just a page or so. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. The psalmist longs for God's word. Verse 20 says, my soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. And there's verse 131. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. It's the picture of an animal parched with thirst. The psalmist knows that his thirst can't be quenched by anything other than God himself through his word. Delight, love, joy, longing. Now notice, the psalmist is not celebrating mystical experiences or voices from God. He's delighting in God's law. He's delighting in God's statutes. Theologian John Frame says, we should remind ourselves that the chief object of this religious praise is specifically the written word of God. The psalmist's primary focus here is not on the divine voice heard directly, nor on the oral words of the prophets, but on the written documents constituting God's law. And why does the psalmist so delight in the written word of God? Well, when you read through Psalm 119, it's shocking, really. We can't overstate the depth of emotion the psalmist expresses and the love he pours out on a book. He practically worships it. This is because this book forms and sustains his relationship with God, with Yahweh, the wondrous God of the universe, and the personal God of his people. God has revealed himself in a book. And as J.I. Packer has said, the written word of the Lord brings us to the living Lord of the Word. So the psalmist praises it and clings to it. The psalmist truly delights in the word of God. Let's look at four ways the scripture brings us to God, four ways that are reasons for our delight, or the psalmist's delight. First, the scriptures convey truth about God, rock-solid truth that can be relied upon. Turn to verses 142 and 144. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Now look at verses 151 to 152. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. And back in verse 89, it says, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. The psalmist has certainty about God's righteous character and his law. That means that he can trust God and that God's word will never lead him astray. He is assured that following God is right and will result in life and rescue. So he delights in his relationship with God, even through trouble and anguish. This summer, we actually had a horrible tragedy happen at UCCD. Some of our women and their children were at a pool, and they were reading a book together, and two boys from the same family. They were teenagers drowned in this pool. They were from Malaysia, and it was just inexplicable how it happened. Nobody really saw it happen, and it was devastating to our whole church. But do you know how the parents, Chiwa and Stephen, have survived this? They have clung to God and delighted in his word. It's really true. Every week I see Chiwa. She still has joy. She talks to me about her love for the Bible and her trust in God, that he will always do what is right and good. They keep reminding themselves of truth about God, and he has sustained them through their anguish. So how do you respond when trouble and anguish come your way? Do you remind yourself of truth about God? Do you remind yourself that he is righteous forever? Does your heart seek understanding, and do you find comfort in the scriptures? Verse 28 says, my soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Like the psalmist, we can trust God and rely on his word, because it's true. It's firmly fixed in the heavens. Second, the scriptures give knowledge and wisdom. Look at verses 23 to 24. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. The psalmist knows that worldly plotters are no match for heavenly wisdom. So notice what he does. He meditates on God's statutes. He thinks. He contemplates the what's, the whys, and the hows of God's testimony. With this kind of understanding, he can apply the scriptures to every circumstance. The princes are plotting, but he knows the one who knows the way. The psalmist repeatedly asks for the Lord to teach him and give him understanding. For example, in verse 73, "Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." He knows the ways of the Lord are good. He's the loving creator, and that living according to his commandments leads to flourishing in this life and in his relationship with God. So the psalmist works to learn and understand. He works to truly know his God. Where are you going for wisdom and knowledge? Google? The Bible's wisdom is like a tea bag. You put a tea bag in the water, and as it soaks, the water changes. As it steeps, the cup becomes a dark brown with a rich aroma and an earthy flavor. Our hearts and minds change when we allow the scripture to steep within us. The wisdom flows out and it colors everything. It infuses us with the aroma of Christ. We become people who want to glorify God. And we come to know how to do that. The scriptures give us knowledge and wisdom. Verse 130, "The unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple." Third, the scriptures enable the psalmist to obey. Look at verse 9 to 11. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Sin separates us from God. Jesus has come and torn down the barrier for all who would repent and believe. If we believe, we will live lives of repentance. We'll desire to honor our Lord by obeying him. We won't want to grieve the Holy Spirit and bring shame upon Jesus' name. Obedience keeps us in joyous communion with God. This is why the psalmist repeatedly pleads with the Lord to turn him from his wicked ways and help him to obey. Verse 29, "Put false ways away from me and graciously teach me your law." Verse 36, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain." Notice that the psalmist is not declaring his self-sufficient obedience. He asks the Lord to use his word to keep him from sin. He doesn't want to wander from the Lord. He needs God's help to keep him in his love. Do you have sins that you are struggling with? Repeated flares of anger, persistent lack of self-control, greed or pride that puts you first? Store up the word in your heart and fight that sin. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Stare at Jesus in the Gospels until you become more like him. Ask God to teach you and incline your heart toward his testimonies and not to selfish gain. He will be your comfort and your help when you seek him with your whole heart. Fourth, the scriptures give the psalmist life. More than 25 times, the psalmist says he delights or loves or longs for the word of God. It is his hope, his peace, his joy, his song, his freedom, and his comfort. It is his very life because it brings him to God. Verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life." what would the psalmist's life be like without God's word? An empty, drab, meaningless existence without God and without hope in the world. The psalmist needs the scriptures to bring him to God. The psalmist delights in his Bible because it's true, is full of knowledge and wisdom, enables him to obey, and gives him life. Yes, the written word of the Lord brings him to the living Lord of the word. 176 verses celebrating the scriptures. The psalmist delights in the Bible, and so should we. With both the Old and the New Testaments, we have more to delight in. Love, joy, and delight should certainly be our experience when we come to the scriptures. We should delight in the psalmist's delight. So let's talk about our delight in the scriptures. What if I'm not feeling it? Exhaustion, sickness, discouragement, and just plain busyness can wreak havoc in all our relationships. Likewise, these things can shrivel our hearts and turn our Bible reading into, at best, teeth-gritting duty instead of relational delight. So how can we be like the psalmist and increase our joy in the Bible? Let me give you 7 practical ways to stoke your delight. First, you must be genuinely saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing else will give you true joy. The psalmist ties salvation together with delight in God's word. Verse 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. If the Bible bores you, it might be because you don't truly know the God of the Bible. George Mueller was a 19th century Brit who was famous for his reliance on God in founding orphanages in England. Here's what he once said. In what way shall we attain to this settled happiness of soul? How shall we learn to enjoy God? How shall we obtain such an all-sufficient, soul-satisfying portion in him as shall enable us to let go of the things of this world as vain and worthless in comparison? I answer, this happiness is to be obtained through the study of the Holy Scriptures. God has therein revealed himself unto us in the face of Jesus Christ. A settled happiness of soul is found only in the face of Jesus Christ. If the woman next to you delights in the scriptures, it is because she goes there to gaze upon Jesus. It's not because she's perfect or intellectually superior. We Christians realize that we are all sinners who have rebelled against God. But God sent Jesus to pay the penalty of death, for sinners like us. Jesus died on the cross and God raised him from the dead to show that he had defeated sin and death. No, we're not perfect. We trust in the finished work of the risen Christ to be saved. And that is why we love to look upon him in the scriptures. So if the psalmist's joy is enticing to you, ask God, as the psalmist does, to turn your eyes from looking at worthless things and give you life in his ways. When God does this, then you will begin to enjoy the all-sufficient, soul-satisfying Christ of the scriptures. Knowing him is the reason that we delight. Second, pray. The psalmist not only delighted in God's word, he prayed to delight in God's word. Verse 18 says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Pray for the Lord to show you wondrous things in his word. He delights to answer that prayer. And pray with your Bible open. B.B. Warfield was a godly pastor and a theologian who sacrificed much to take care of his invalid wife. He said, Sometimes we hear it said that 10 minutes on your knees will give you a truer, deeper, more operative knowledge of God than 10 hours over your Bible. But I say, 10 hours over your Bible on your knees. I used to find reading the Bible boring. My times of reading and prayer were duty, not delight. So I prayed and I asked others to pray for me. I prayed this for months, maybe years. It didn't happen overnight, but my time now in God's Word is the most precious time of my day. God gives spiritual sight. So pray for the Lord to show you wondrous things in the Scriptures. Third, taste and see. The psalmist didn't wait to feel in the mood to read his Bible. Look at verses 15 to 16. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. My daughter Ruth has a friend at school named Talia. Talia regularly attends church with her, and she has lots of questions about Christianity, and she loves to discuss it. So she would ask Ruth questions, and Ruth would answer those questions, and then she would say, "You really need to read the Bible on your own." And so the next time Ruth would see Talia, she would say, "Have you been reading your Bible?" And she would say, "Oh, I intended to, but no, I haven't gotten around to it." So Ruth said to Talia, "Hey, let's read through the book of Hebrews together." This girl is a Jewish girl, so she thought Hebrews would be a good one. And so they started reading the book of Hebrews together, and Talia has a study Bible that has all the cross references in the middle of her Bible. Well, Talia got a taste of this, and she started reading Hebrews, and she wound up looking up all the cross references and was spending something like 2 hours a day reading her Bible. And so she got a taste, and she wanted more. And Talia, we just learned, repented of her sins just last week and became a Christian. So I've seen this hunger happen countless times at UCCD, at our women's Bible study. We have women coming from every inhabited continent to do mainly inductive studies through books of the Bible. They speak varying degrees of English, and their background and cultures are widely divergent. For example, I have both Susma, who's from a rural village in Nepal, and Roxanne, who is a lawyer from Los Angeles, in my small group. The women have different colors of skin, and they wear very different clothes, but they all love studying the Bible. We rejoice together every week at what we see together. If you aren't spending time in God's Word, try it. Get a taste. You will want more. Fourth, have a regular time, place, and plan for Bible reading. The psalmist sang, verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And verse 148, "My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise." If we set a time in the morning to take in God's word, we'll be more likely to meditate on it all the day. If we don't have a plan with a time and a place, we're likely to get caught up in chores or Instagram or a busy day at work and never get around to delighting in the word. When George Mueller was 76 years old, he thought about what was most important in life. He had provided for thousands of needy orphans and influenced a generation of Christian leaders and servants. As he looked back, what do you think he said he learned? He said, "I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. I saw that the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditation on it. What is the food of the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. and not the simple reading of the Word of God, so that it only passes through our minds, just as water runs through a pipe, but considering what we read, pondering over it, and applying it to our hearts. We don't expect to have energy for the day without eating breakfast. We don't expect to get into the car and drive to work without having gas in the car. We fuel our bodies and our cars. How much more important to fuel our souls every day? We need the routine of spiritual meals. Now, I want to just make a caveat. Some of you have very small children, and you're up very early in the morning with them. We all understand that not everyone can get up in the morning, and some students, it's hard for them to get up in the morning, have a quiet time before they rush off to school. In the evening, it works too. My daughter, Chloe, she reads her Bible in the evening. What's important is that we get that Word of God into us regularly. So have a plan. Plan reading through the whole Bible or reading through particular books. Don't just play Bible roulette, where you get up in the morning and you open your book and put your finger in it and read that verse of the day. And don't decide the morning of. A time and a plan will help you stay consistently in God's Word. And reading your Bible in the same place every day will also help you get into a routine. I have a favorite rocking chair next to a bookcase with pencils and paper there in case I need to make any notes. And I don't have to get myself organized before I sit down and read my Bible. Everything I need is right there for me. I just have to go downstairs and get a cup of tea first. We're busy women with many tasks to juggle. The computer and the cell phone constantly entice us. There are dishes to be done, emails to return, schedules to organize. Have a plan and find a quiet time and a place away from people, phones, and computers to make your soul happy in the Lord. Soon you will find that these are habits that you refuse to give up because you are delighting in them. Fifth, meditate on what you read. I read previously verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. The psalmist stores up, fixes his eyes on, understands, and unfolds God's word. He enjoys thinking deeply about the scriptures, and that brings understanding that spurs on his delight. Meditating on the scriptures simply means to think about them. Think them through, ask questions of the text, look at every word, figure out the meaning, then ponder its implications for your heart and your family and your church and even the world. Kabul, Afghanistan is a dirty place. Some of you know that. The destruction of war and the lack of sanitation leads to a constant filth filling the air. People actually cover their faces when they walk through the streets so that they don't get this really dangerous soot on their mouth and in their eyes. The women of Kabul go to baths called hammams. In these baths, they soak in the water to loosen everything up, and then they literally scrape the layers of dirt off of one another. This is what it's like to meditate on Scripture. You know, the world ignores God. Television, radio, the internet, these things all work together to invade our minds and tempt us to treasure things that bring only fleeting pleasure. We get layers of dirt on our minds and on our hearts. We need to purify ourselves from the toxicity of the world by washing in the water of the Word. As we immerse ourselves in the Bible, we will see the superior pleasures of Christ and his ways. We need to soak in this to soften our hearts. The Puritan Thomas Watson explained, "The reason we come away so cold from reading the Word of God is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation." So meditate on God's Word to warm your heart and to increase your delight. Sixth, be involved in your Bible-centered church. The Psalms were not written primarily for individuals. They were for community consumption. They were written for the people of God to read together and sing together. Remember, throughout most of history, God's people didn't own Bibles to take home. What a privilege we have today. Psalm 119 would have been sung in community and memorized to celebrate the gift of God's word to his people. You will delight in your Bible even more if you enjoy it with others. Paul instructs the church at Colossae, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Being involved in a word-centered church where others are enthusiastic, not about entertainment, programs, or stories, but about the word of God being proclaimed, will stoke your passion for the scriptures. So don't sit on the sidelines of your church. Go to Bible study on Wednesday nights. Go to women's Bible study. Get involved in one another's lives and encourage one another with the word of God. You know, we all have finite amounts of time in life, and we have finite amounts of energy. If you can only go to one Bible study, why not go to the one with the people you are covenanting with? Bless others and allow them to bless you. Pour your time and energy into one another in your local church. Seventh, speak the word to outsiders. Look at verses 46 to 47. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. We love to talk about what we delight in, and we delight in what we love to talk about. Think of the way we enjoy telling others about our kids, or even the new store in the mall, or the good restaurant. If we delight in the Jesus of the Bible, we will share him with others. And sharing the good news of Jesus dying for sinners like us will spur us on in the faith. As we contemplate God's grace to us, we have more delight in our lives. It can also challenge us to grow in our knowledge of the scriptures so that we have an answer for the hope that we have. Our delight in God's word makes us want to share it with others, and sharing it with others causes us to delight in God's word even more. Try it and see. So, what if you're not feeling delight in the scriptures? Make sure you know the God of the Bible. Then pray, taste, plan, meditate, be involved in your church, and share it with others. Those things will stoke your love for the Bible so that it's no longer a duty, but a delight. Well, we should conclude. This weekend, we've seen that God created us to know him, and that we know him through his word. It is given to us for our delight. The Bible is a treasure more precious than any earthly prize. Verse 127 says, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. In the Bible is found great joy. Verse 162 says, I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. There is no sweeter delight. Verse 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We can get so caught up in other things, having a successful career, a nice house, accomplished kids, even our exercise routine. But we were made for so much more. More pleasure, more beauty, more joy. We were made for God himself. Knowing him should be our lifelong pursuit, continuing on into eternity when we see him face to face. So what will be your most precious treasure? Your greatest joy? Will your heart go after the world? Or, like the psalmist, is the Bible your sweetest delight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you created us for much more than a beautiful home, well-behaved kids, a good career. Lord, you created us for yourself, to be in relationship with you. We thank you that you have given us the scriptures so that we can delight in that relationship with you, so that we can know you deeper and deeper every day, and so that we can mind the scriptures for all that they're worth. So we thank you for giving us yourself. We thank you for all that Jesus has done, and we thank you for not leaving us alone, but giving us the scriptures so that we can know you and know how to live. And we pray that we would be women who know what we were created for. We pray that we would be women who delight in the scriptures and delight in our relationship with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.